We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
You are listening live to the program. Your teams, your town, your program.
The Buffalo Bills have traded the 28th pick to the Kansas City Chiefs. With the 28th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the back-to-back Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Chiefs, select Xavier Worthy.
He's not a good route runner. He's not a big kid. But I think you'll see this toughness that he's got, which jumped out at me. And then when you talk to Coach Arcisi and I are close, and he kept talking about how smart he was, great football instincts, and he's a tremendous worker. And in this offense, you gotta be able to do that.
Yeah, just our ability to play vertical and have speed on the field at all times, and having Xavier and Hollywood, I think, will make life easier for Travis and Rasheed. And I think, you know, as the season goes on here, I think we'll have an offense that can attack in multiple different ways and always keep defenses guessing.
And now another guy looking to gain about 15 pounds, whether he needs it or not, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for joining us here on a frisky Friday. Day two of the NFL draft looms, 6 o'clock tonight. What's the best part of day two?
There's more picks.
We're not doing...
That's the best part for
if
sure.
You said we're not doing it, I'd have said no more picks.
No more picks.
You weren't going to get it right no matter
what your answer was. That's probably true.
Both are true.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice to sit back and relax. Just chill. When last we left you, earlier this morning, the Kansas City Chiefs had completed their press conferences regarding one with Brett Beach and Andy Reid regarding the trade-up for Xavier Worthy. Are we on board? Are you down with what they did?
I am down with what they did.
Okay.
If
you had to give it a letter grade, because I posted a Twitter poll, you can check it out, at Soren Petro, S-O-R-E-N-P-E-T-R-O. What letter grade would you give the trade-up and selection of Xavier Worthy? I think we can just say the player at 28, because for them it's a trade-up where they drop down around basically from third to fourth, drop down in the seventh to move up four and get Xavier Worthy, and then the player that they selected, would you give it an A, a B, a C, or a D? I did not offer F because I don't. If your idea is they get an F, like, this is not intro to sports talk, so go down the hall to the 100-level sports talk and ply your craft there.
Yeah, you weren't serious enough to take part in our survey.
Wide receiver was a definitive need. The man clocked the fastest 40 time in the history of the game. He scored 23 touchdowns.
That was 26.
26 touchdowns in three seasons at Texas. Had a 1,000-yard receiving season. There's no way it's an F.
Right.
It's just
not possible.
Not possible. And by the way, your answers reflect that so far. Only 1.8% of respondents have given it a D. At Soren Petro, S-O-R-E-N-P-E-T-R-O, if you want to take a shot at that. So what letter grade?
Given those four, not dividing the letters into pluses and minuses, I voted and gave it a B. I don't think I can give it an A, but if we cut the A's and B's up into three, I would probably give it a B+.
Okay, B+, I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get an A, but a lot of people do give it an A. When you invest capital to move up to get someone, but it makes sense. It's hard for me to chip away at this trade at that move too much.
I think the position was one of need. I'm not always a fan of drafting for need, but we sat here for about three or four picks last night. You, me, Adam, Mark, and once Thomas came off the board for LSU. And furthermore, once, wait, let me see here. Hang on. Where, thought I had the draft open somewhere.
Who are you looking for in particular? What team?
When did Adonai Mitchell come off?
Well,
he's still there.
Didn't. Yeah.
He's still there. So we had Adonai Mitchell was what we thought collectively mm-hmm. was the highest rated wideout. The last guy that I said was worth the trade up was Brian Thomas.
Yeah.
I didn't think Adonai Mitchell was worth it, but some people did. He was a wideout that some people thought would be worth a trade up, more of an all around player, certainly a bigger player mm-hmm. than Xavier Worthy. So that was the last guy. If we said, well, if they're going to trade up, who would it be? And Adonai Mitchell was kind of the last all around receiver. So the trade-up part is what...
He was the last guy who looked like there wasn't much of a chance that the floor would drop out.
Right.
Yeah, that's the way I looked at him.
And so, to me, we said, listen, is anybody wanting to trade up? And none of us did.
Yeah. We figured Thomas, he went at 23, so that was the last spot. And the tackles were, for the most part, gone.
Tackles that we would trade up for were gone. Yeah. They were done... At about 18 or 19 or maybe even 14, whenever Amarius Mims went.
Mims went at 18.
Okay.
Fotanu at 20. Mims is the last guy I would have moved for.
Yes.
And I definitely wouldn't have gone up to 20 for Fotanu.
All the edge guys that come off the board, Murphy was really the only consensus D tackle.
Four edge guys in a seven-pick span that ended at number 21.
Corners, that was the one spot.
Yeah.
And Mark said a number of times, said, listen, if you wanted to come up for Wiggins, who ultimately would go 30 to Baltimore... who was the fastest corner? He clocks up 4.3 in the 40. If you wanted to come up and get him, okay, right? Like, then that was where Mark was kind of on board. If you wanted to go there, and when the Chiefs did trade up, that's where he thought they were going. And we were a little surprised that it was for Xavier Worthy. Did they need to trade up? I don't know. Receivers, two more receivers went.
Yeah,
right.
Last two picks.
Pearsall went.
And Leggett.
Who I heard some people were like, oh, I can't believe Pearsall went. I'm like, if you didn't have these guys in a pool, and Pearsall, who a lot of people like, well, most people had him in the top of the second. He went 31.
Right, he didn't go 20.
I just love the, like, well, we haven't seen the mock drafts that, well, the mock drafts aren't right. The mock drafts are someone's guess at it.
Yes.
Someone's hypothesis at it.
Based on the knowledge that is known at that time, which is why they move. We've talked years about guys don't slide down the draft board. It's the perception of where they were the entire time that changes.
Okay. So, listen, for me, the fact that a couple more wideouts went mm-hmm. is enough for me to buy that. Hey, there was blood in the water at the wide receiver spot, and they wanted to make sure they got their guy.
Yeah.
Right? I'm okay with that.
And you brought up during the show last night, Sirin, about how good you've learned that John Dorsey was at mapping out how the first round would go. And obviously, you know, everybody connects Veach to Reed, but Veach is also somewhat of a disciple of Dorsey as well.
Yeah.
And that's a good chance he picked that up.
Yeah, I think so. And I think they had a pretty good idea where things are and where they got to move to. But, you know, so listen, probably wasn't the move I was going to make, but I can't complain about the fastest wide receiver ever clocked who actually plays wideout.
Yes. And he's and has played wideout and been productive for 3 years. Not just a guy came out of nowhere and suddenly he's fast and he goes in the draft.
He's a much more accomplished receiver than Mecole Hardman was.
Yeah.
He's taken ahead of Mecole Hardman. Much more is invested in him. I would say a floor and a ceiling on the kid. The floor is more than Mecole Hardman.
Absolutely.
Right? And the floor is this needs to allow you to move on from some people, whether it's Mecole Hardman, whether it's Kadarius Toney, whether it's Sky Moore.
Other guys is
other
what
guys
allows you to move on
has
from.
Jason pointed out that Andy Reid described all the wide receivers in the room, not named Rashee Rice.
Hollywood Brown.
Did he name Watson or no?
He said.
And Kelsey.
And Kelsey.
Yeah.
And the other guys.
And the rest, the others. It's got to move them off of that. And listen, I like the pick also because if you're Kadarius Toney, I mean, they keep saying the right things, but they're making it harder to make the roster as a wideout.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this kid's going to make it.
Yeah. And the other thing he said Brett Veach said last night that I thought was interesting, listening back to it today, was sometimes you measure those guys by how quickly they adapted to the college game, and the fact that Worthy immediately when he got to Texas was a productive wide receiver. He said that bodes well for him adjusting well to the pro game and being productive early on. That it wasn't a guy who showed up, kind of was on the team, then gradually found himself. He thought that was an important point for him and his ability to come in and learn the offense quickly and be a productive player right away. That's something I hadn't really heard a GM talk about from that position. But his best touchdown year was his freshman year.
Which, who is that in direct contrast to? The rest.
And the rest, right.
The rest.
Remember on Gilligan's Island, Professor and Marianne got added? They were just the rest.
Yeah. You know, how Marianne was the rest, still one of the great mysteries. Professor, yeah, get it.
Also beyond me how the professor could make a radio out of coconuts, but he couldn't patch a hole in a boat. But that's a different story.
Definitely different story.
Asset misallocation there.
And that's much like Xavier Worthy.
Gilligan's Island was a sitcom jockey from way back in the day where, amazingly, they got lost somewhere off the coast of California and were stranded on an island.
It was supposed to be a three-hour tour.
A three-hour tour.
But the weather started getting rough.
Mm-hmm. That tiny ship was tossed.
It was. If not
Have
for
you
the
seen
courage
it?
I've heard about it.
You've heard about
it?
Okay.
The minnow.
The minnow would be lost. Here's a thought. Don't take a boat called the Minnow into the open sea.
I still think the rich people had something to do with it because it was supposed to be a three-hour tour, but they brought all that luggage. They knew something was going to happen.
It's one of the big conspiracy theories.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't have, actually think that their plans were going to work.
Watching,
like, you knew they weren't going to get off the island. What was the point?
Watching Xavier Worthy catch passes from Patrick Mahomes will be quite a three-hour tour each Sunday.
Hello.
There you go.
Hello.
Thank you for jerking the wheel.
Yes.
I tried.
Spinning
Mahomes the wheel.
It reads the professor.
Anyway.
The captain.
It's way too far now.
It is way too far.
That's what I
do.
It is. Unfortunately.
Fortunately.
you think unfortunately. I think fortunately. The Xavier Worthy floor, I do think, is Mecole Hardman. I think he's going to be a better wideout. I don't think he's going to be as much of a trick play guy. I don't think he's going to be as good in the jet sweep category because he's small. Let's be clear about this. And they didn't really, Andy Reid didn't want any part of it. At least Brett Veach would say, yes, we're going to get in with our nutritionist and our strength coach.
He was talking 175 to 180, which would be 10 to 15 pound gain of weight.
It's touch football. I mean, he's not running through arms, right? But one of the things that Mark Boerichter, did a nice job of breaking this down last night is it's not just going to be his stats. It's what does he open up. The Chiefs were one of the least explosive teams in football. So much so that at one point, Matt Nagy felt compelled last year to be like, well, there's some people asking me if Patrick Mahomes can still throw the ball. Like, has he had an injury? He can let it go when he needs to, but it's a lot of dink and dunk. And Patrick Mahomes' yards per attempt was like 2 yards less than what Mr. Irrelevant was doing in San Francisco. So they won a championship. And that's why when I put up there, one of the questions I put on Twitter was, what will make this pick a success? And if your answer is winning a Super Bowl, again, down the hall.
Right?
Because, no, that's not it.
You don't put
that
on wide receivers.
Right? So make Frank Clark trades all the time? No. You win. Yeah, it was good enough. And it was part of the cost of doing business, but it's not the blueprint. right? They won a championship last year without being able to really effectively stretch the field. Even though they had a couple of guys that were supposed to be field stretchers, they couldn't do it. They found a way to win, but that's not the blueprint.
Yeah, we can sit here and celebrate and buy our shirts and be thrilled, but Brett Veach, and we try to sort of reconstruct what these guys are doing or what we would do in their shoes. Brett Veach and his staff needed to be thinking, how can we avoid ever being in that position again?
Yeah, and they did. That's another reason why I did not allow F to be one of the options on this. Because you cannot, and first of all, at some point Patrick Mahomes is going to get pissed. Who was rattling off, who was in here? Was it Bo Richter?
Talking about Rodgers? Don't want the Mahomes getting mad at the Chiefs like Rodgers did?
Yeah, but yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. But who was it? It was in here. Was it Lebo?
About the offensive picks?
Yeah, the offensive picks since Patrick Mahomes was selected.
It was me, and now I can't find
it. It was you, okay.
Yeah, that they had
very
not.
Very memorable.
Yeah, that they had
the
not
information
used.
Made an impression. You faded into the background.
The only actual player they drafted of an offensive player in the first round was Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 32.
Yes. Otherwise, they're
three wide receivers clustered in the 50s.
Yeah, three wide receivers in the 50s. Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, or Sky Moore, Rashi Rice, and Mecole Hardman. Trading a hodgepodge of picks, but essentially 31 for Orlando Brown. Creed Humphrey in the second.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at some point, like, Tom Brady had enough. And let me tell you something. Patrick Mahomes has Tom Brady on speed dial. And right. I guarantee you, Patrick Mahomes ain't waiting until he's 42 to be like, screw this. Right? Everything happens faster. Everything.
Yeah, he doesn't want last year to happen again from what he had to work through last year. I'm sure he thought, that can't be. Done with that stuff.
The cycles move faster. He is not waiting till he's 40 years old for them to invest or get it right at a wide receiver.
Exactly.
And so that is another reason why this pick can't have an F. But, you know, the lack of explosiveness, not only is it, like, not fun for Patrick Mahomes, not only is it not as effective, not only does it put pressure on your offense to play more snaps without making a mistake, more snaps Juwan Taylor's got to line up on sides, more snaps Donovan Smith's got to not hold, more snaps Trey Smith's got to not hold, more snaps Creed Humphrey's got to get back to the quarterback. All those things, grind, 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 grind. It does all those things, making it that much harder to not shoot yourself in the foot. Like, big explosive plays, despite what some fools said in this town back when Dick Vermeil's offense was scoring, you know, they score too quickly. To this day, I am dumbfounded, and those who said it can never rebuild their trust because it's just stupid. Scoring quickly eliminates the chances of you screwing up. So, look, even if he doesn't score, the threat of him going down the field means Travis Kelce's open in the intermediate. The threat of him going down the field means that the screenplays get five more yards. Everything that he threat, because he's not just going to run down the field like MVS. We're hoping he's going to run down the field and catch it. And then after he does that, then they really send guys that direction.
I've said this before, but the moment of where they're calling Jet Chip Wasp, and you hear Mahomes say, you be working, you get open, you be working. He says, you get open to Tyreek. He says, you be working to Sammy Watkins. Because his route was just as important, because his speed was important to draw that safety in, which is what made the Wasp route so effective.
There is a potential. Listen, I'm not going to suddenly bandwagon this and say, this is the guy I wanted all along. It wasn't. But it, now that they've done it, I'll be honest with you, a little bit of me is like, it should have been on this a little more. Right? Speed has always been an important thing to them. They walked on MVS. They got MVS when they were losing Tyreek Hill. Right? They always have a speed guy. They got Sammy Watkins when they had Tyreek Hill. They want speed on speed. Like, it's clearly what Andy Reid thinks is a fundamental part of his offense. And we all should, and there were a number, many people did. And listen, kudos to everyone who mock draft Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs. It was a good read. Right? And far be it from, nothing pisses me off more than people rooting for their predictions, and then after the fact, Mike Florio trying to recreate some dumbass reason why what they said that was wrong is somehow right. Xavier Worthy was clearly their guy. There were other guys that I think could have slid down at other positions that they would have been in. But this was one of their guys. And kudos to everybody who said Xavier Worthy. You nailed it. You nailed it. And it's not rocket science, and credit those who got it right, and a little bit of shame on those of us who didn't understand how important speed is, and that when they took MVS off the roster, they were going to want another speed guy on the roster. So, listen, it makes sense. Now he's got to perform. He's got to be better than Mecole Hardman. Got to be. Got to be.
Yeah, that's where you start.
Yeah, he's got to be better than Mecole Hardman, and it allows them to offer a pretty minimal contract to Hardman if they want. I mean, I would still like to see Hardman brought back. And because who's better, Kadarius Toney or Mecole Hardman? I'll take Mecole Hardman. But I don't think that's going to happen. Right. They seem committed to Kadarius Toney.
Sure do. Unless they're trying to get someone else to bite.
But
I don't know who would.
Yeah. All right, where do they go next? What's up next?
I think offensive tackle, and I think there are two people kind of down that list that I think they can get themselves to. One is your guy from Yale, Kieran Omegaji.
Yep.
And I also think the other tackle at Washington, Rosengarten, who may be falling down to that spot, although I think he probably factors more as a right tackle or a swing guy. But I think they can maybe get a guy they think. I think Omegaji has a better chance of eventually being a left tackle, but I think maybe offensive tackle there or corner. But I think you're probably going to at least make an effort to get that tackle in two. And I wouldn't be surprised if things break correctly, if they use some of the maybe the two, one of the two fourths to get up and back into the third, or to go higher in the second. If they think their guy is sitting around 50 or 55, maybe they package those two fourths and move up 10 or 15 spots in the second round, whatever it would take to get that done.
I think we're going to find out where they think the depth is in this draft. And I'm with you. I think they're either moving up in the second, because we're in the sweet spot now,
mm-hmm.
and they want to stay in it.
Get to 50 or something.
I can also see them moving down in the third and up in the fourth. Like, I think I can see them saying, okay, 50 to 100,
mm-hmm.
that's where we want to be. And packaging those picks to grab three or four guys in that range.
Yeah.
I think they'll take a corner somewhere in there. And I think a defensive lineman needs to be taken. I don't know that they have to, but it needs to be. I'd like to see an upgrade there. And I think there's some guys in that second, third round, that you know, end of second and throughout the third round that look pretty good, look Steve Spagnuolo-esque, that are supposed to be going in that spot. We may see a lot of defense here, but, yeah, I think tackle, D-tackle, corner, safety. They lost Mike Edwards. Brian Cook's coming back from an ACL. I know they like Chamari Connor, but they like to play multiple safeties. I think safety could be there, and I think interior offensive linemen are all on the board. And I think if they feel like the 1 to 150 range, then maybe they're sliding back all over the place, and we're going to see, you know, bulk of picks and thrown at it. But this year feels to me like up, just a few guys, with next year being the, you know, I think in the back of their mind, the quest for a three-peat has got to be on their mind. And that means let's get a couple of difference makers. I smell trade-ups. Smell trade-ups.
For sure.
If they don't at 64, I'll bet they do back into the third round. So
yep.
I would lean towards the trade-up. 913-3810-810. Let's talk about it with Adam Teicher. He comes up next here in the program.
He was covering the Chiefs the day Patrick Mahomes was born. He was covering the Chiefs the day Mahomes brought the Lombardi Trophy back to Kansas City.
Kansas City has won their first Super Bowl in 50 years. 50 years, a lifetime.
He's
Adam Teicher of ESPN on the program.
Let's talk about it. Talk about the Chiefs draft with one Adam Teicher here in the program. Man's been covering the Will Shipley. Not the white guy. I was just told, yes, the white guy, Will Shipley. I like Will Shipley. My people tell me Will Shipley.
It's all our things, Will Shipley, Will Shipley.
You know what that's from? George Steinbrenner on Seinfeld?
Mm.
My people told me Ken Phelps. Ken Phelps. But my people are telling me Will Shipley.
He's got a craving for a calzone now?
Yeah.
Calzones.
Yeah. Calzones. It is the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Much coming your way. Danny Unleashed in the three. We'll see if he's upset today. 2 minute drill at four. I'm going to talk to Thomas Jones. He works for the Austin American Statesman. Get his thoughts. Covers the University of Texas Longhorns. What does he think the Chiefs got in Xavier Worthy? Kevin Harlan wrapping it all up in the 5 o'clock hour. But as I said, we talked to the man, the myth, the legend, Adam Teicher here in the program. Adam, brought to you by our friends at the University of Kansas Health System. If you need to see an expert right now, like, do you have an injury? Did it happen playing sports? Maybe it didn't happen playing sports. Maybe it just happened in everyday life. It doesn't matter. If you suffer an orthopedic injury, the University of Kansas Health System offers walk-in care at 435 and all NOP. Weekdays 8 to 7, Saturdays 8 to 2. KansasHealthSystem.com/orthopedics to learn more. 435 and all. Walk right in and see an expert right now. Adam, how are you, my friend?
Good. Just watched the Royals break it open in the ninth inning, so it's all good.
It is, yeah. It looks like they're cruising to yet another victory. 5-0 in the ninth. So at least that's where it was. 8-0. Okay. Yep. 8-0 in the ninth. Sorry, I'm working, Adam. So trying to get some things done here, you know.
You really should avoid that, yeah.
I try. Let's talk about Xavier Worthy. Your thoughts. What's your reaction? What letter grade do you give the trade up and selection of Xavier Worthy? Please show your work.
Nice solid B. Yeah, I'll sign my name to that. You know, he's a fast guy, but he's more than a fast guy. You know, I think there's some. I mean, this isn't Mecole Hardman again. You know, this is a guy who can play football. I think he's a football player, which is something I'm not sure Mecole Hardman was when the Chiefs drafted him, and I'm not sure he still is to this day. But certainly. Xavier Worthy is, and so we know it was a need. You know, I like the fact the Chiefs didn't have to give up a draft pick. Now, they had to give up that third-round pick, but they got one back in return, so they won't lose the body count on this draft. They'll lose a little bit of quality, theoretically, going down from the third round to the fourth round, but I'm okay with that. I if they'd given away a pick, I'd be a little bit more suspect of this, but I do like the move, and I think it's worth a shot for them.
Could you read between the lines, or did your reporting skills lead you to believe that this was one, either this guy they think is a huge difference maker, it's kind of a Trent McDuffie, you know, listen, we have him as one of those 18 to 21 first round picks that that Brett Veach said were in this draft, so the opportunity was there to get a difference maker? Or was it as much about, like, hey, we like him, and we don't really think after, like, you know, about 60 guys, there's a whole lot of difference between the third and fourth round guys. So what the hell, it doesn't really matter. We're going to get a similar type guy down there, so we don't really value that pick so much. So if we can go up, let's go get him. So more about Worthy or more about we don't really like the back end of this draft?
Yeah, well, to me it was more about Worthy because there were some other first-round candidates who would have been there for him at 32, and who knows, maybe Worthy would have been too, but certainly Xavier Leggett would have been there for him. Adonai Mitchell would have been there for him, so... they could have stayed at 32 and had their pick of maybe all three of those guys. Certainly two of those guys they could have had. And to me, the fact that they had to go up and felt like this was the guy they had to have tells you that he really stood out from the crowd to them, that they felt like, between his speed and his skills that he was the one who maybe the difference maker.
Yeah. And he steps in and at least provides motivation for everybody else in that wide receiver room, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's time for if I'm Kadarius Toney or I'm Sky Moore, I'm thinking, okay, I got to take the diapers off here. I mean, it's time for me to play and earn my spot on the team. I might not make it. I mean, depending on what else the Chiefs do, whether it's picking another receiver today or tomorrow, or maybe signing a veteran later on, it could get a little crowded in that receiving room. So, I think everybody's on notice here. They need to pick up their game for sure.
In classic Andy Reid fashion, he would not acknowledge anything, including that 160-pound wide receiver might want to put on some weight. Brett Beach was a little more honest and said, we'll get him with our dietitian, our strength and conditioning coach. You do have to worry about a guy that small just being kind of ragdolled, right? Like, that is going to be one of the things he's got to do, is gain strength without losing speed.
Yeah, he does. And, one of the things you certainly wonder about him. And I'm curious what kind of role the Chiefs give him until – theoretically, that day arrives when he is, has bulked up a little bit. How much work do they give him? Is he a two-thirds? Is he in there for two-thirds of the snaps plus special teams? Is he in there for 40-50% of the snaps plus special teams? So I'm interested to see how they use him and how much they use him, at least initially.
I don't want to see him returning kicks. Do you? Like, I honestly do worry about the size. I don't need him getting blown up. He needs to be a productive wide receiver, not a toy for, special teams to be toying around with.
Yeah, well, I think maybe on punts I'm better with it. It's going to get it's going to be for the big boys on the kickoff returns now. I think things are going to change there. So, it always was. But now maybe power more than speed. So I'm not sure he's perfect for that role. But it's going to be interesting to see, what the Chiefs do in that regard. The new kickoff thing, my understanding of it, what they might be looking for in a kick return guy is a little bit different, but I don't know that he fits what they're maybe going to be looking for. Maybe punts is a different story, though.
How happy do you think Patrick Mahomes is? He sent out a nice little tweet with the smiley sunglass face guy, which I guess means I've got it made in the shade, or sunny days ahead. Everybody does it. I'm not sure exactly what the direct translation is, but it's definitely a positive. How much of this do you think was like, look, at some point, we don't need to be sideways with our quarterback? Curtis pointed out three wide receivers in the 50s, Creed Humphrey late in the second round, Orlando Brown trading a pick to get him. Like, not a whole lot since Patrick Mahomes, became the guy, has been invested in the first 2 days on the offensive side of the ball. Do you think that this was as much to show that, look, we're serious about making sure that we're not just dumping it all on your shoulders?
Well, I think there's an awareness they had to help the guy more than they did last year. And if I'm him, I'm ecstatic. I got another guy who can catch the ball, who, can do some things that maybe gives the defense some reason for pause. And Hollywood Brown certainly fits into that category as well. And if I'm him, I'm thinking, I don't want to see either Sky Moore or Kadarius Toney on the field again without them earning it. And I think if this move doesn't have both of those guys' attention, then I don't know what'll get it, So I feel like if the Chiefs are going to get something good out of those guys, this move will help speed that process along. I think this will, maybe motivate them to be better ball players.
I think we're of similar mind. I probably agree with your statement 50%. You said, I don't want to see Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney on the field again without them earning it. And I would say 50% of that I agree with. I don't want to see Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney on the field again. Period.
I knew where you were going with that one. Yeah, and I, you and about every Chiefs fan there is. But you know, I don't think there's any harm in bringing those guys to camp and seeing what they bring there. And again, make them earn a spot. You know, and if they do, that's great. You know, and if not, then you move on.
What's next?
Yeah, I still feel like there'll be that offensive tackle at some point, maybe even today. Just one pick now, today, in the second round, at the end of the second round. And, you know, they still could do something with a veteran there, but Brett Veach made it clear they'll have somebody else, or at least going to try to have somebody else in there to compete at least with Wanya Morris at left tackle. So I figure that'll be coming here. I know they'd like to get another defensive lineman, a running back. Their running back depth chart is not complete. They need to do something there. I fully expect them before the draft is over to bring in a running back. And maybe a corner. You know, even though they drafted a bunch in the last few years, you know, I can see them drafting a corner as well. So, you know, other than quarterback, I really don't know there's a position that would surprise me at this point.
You mentioned somebody coming in to compete with Wanya Morris. Like, they've in the Andy Reid era, let me look here, make sure of this, like Lucas Niang, Darian Kennard, like the later round picks on tackles, has it netted anything?
No. No, it has not. They've just not on tackles. No, Trey Smith was a later round pick, but
he was a guard.
That, no, yeah, he was.
I'm looking back here if I'm missing anybody else. I mean, it's not like they've had a million picks at that position, but.
Yeah,
to me,
Fisher, really.
Yeah, Fisher, their first, very first pick. Yeah, that's it. So, like, for me, I'm kind of like, just go the veteran route. Right? Well, I thought you did a pretty good job with Donovan Smith. You know, like, what's the point? Like, has Lucas Niang been worth that third-round pick?
No. And, you know, I wouldn't force a need for sure. You know, even at, you know, if there's a guy I like, I'm not going to shy away because I whiffed on a couple of guys. But you just need to do better at those spots. But I certainly wouldn't force a need. I don't think the Chiefs need to do that. They could find, rather than do that, they're just better off re-signing Donovan Smith or another veteran to help get them through the season.
Yeah, I wanted to look. After Lucas Niang, what the crew of guys after him was? And
in that draft,
Malik Harrison was after him. Alex Highsmith, who's been a pretty good linebacker for the Steelers, was after him. Not a whole lot. Gabe Davis went in the fourth round after him. So it's not, you know, like, oh, wow, man, look at all these stars they didn't get. But I don't know. I feel like tackles, if they can play, they tend to go earlier. If they're going to go tackle, I think they're going to need to trade up for one. Do you see trade up in round two? Do you see trade up with those two fourths into the third? How aggressive will they be? Or do they sit there or do they trade back and add picks?
Yeah, I think it's better, you know, it's probably better value if they do trade up back into the third round rather than try to move up in the second. But, you know, then you're looking again at giving away picks. You know, you won't for them to get back in the second at this point, they're going to be shorting themselves at least one of their draft picks. So I don't know if that's a great strategy with where their depth chart is right now. They can certainly use some help at a few spots. So I just feel like good players, you know, just let the board come to them. And whatever they do, I'm okay with as long as they're not reaching for guys.
All right, let's take a break. One more with Adam Teicher. We'll talk a little bit about what went on in the AFC West and the AFC and the rest of the draft. That's next here in the program. Talking to Adam Teicher here in the program. Adam's appearance with us here today, brought to you by our friends at the University of Kansas Health System. Orthopedic care is available. Walk right in right now. The same experts that care for the Kansas City Current can care for you. That's right. The official health care provider of the Current, the University of Kansas Health System, recognizes the unique challenges that female athletes face. That's why they created the region's only female athlete program, helping student athletes, adult weekend warriors, reach their full athletic potential. You can learn more right now at kansashealthsystem.com/female athlete. Adam, Bo Nix to the Broncos. Panic move or no? This is a good move, and Sean Payton's going to show why he's been paid $18 million a year.
I think it's a panic move. They could have traded down and got him, I think, and the Broncos can use more help. You know, that's they passed up some good players to go get a guy who may or may not. I mean, I know he's a system guy, probably can do it Sean Payton's way, but I don't know. The Bo Nix I've seen and people I've talked to about him, I think he's limited. That there's only so much you can do with him, and there's a ceiling there. So I'm not a big fan of that move for sure.
Yeah, no, I don't see it, but I get why they're going quarterback. I kind of thought the Zach Wilson was like, okay, we'll toy around with that. I'll buy myself another year. We'll go get a quarterback next time. But to their credit, they're going hard, going big, going early. Joe Alt to the Chargers. What does that say to you?
Yeah, if he's anything like his old man, and I think he will be, Chargers, that's I'd really like that move. That's they picked fifth, so I'm going to like that move probably more than the others in the division. But I think the Chargers did themselves good there.
I mean, it says get ready, you're going to have to tackle, right? And the Chiefs' defense is built on playing the pass. Like Jim Harbaugh said, well, we're going to come in and thump you. Right? Like, that's one of these. And plus, he's now got two left tackle grade offensive tackles, assuming Slater can stay healthy. He's got two left tackle grade offensive tackles to protect Justin Herbert. And, you know, like, I know Charger's going to Charger, and I'm a big believer in that, except for I think Jim Harbaugh's a badass coach. And so I think you need to take notice about what they're doing.
Oh no, I definitely agree. I think there's finally a direction there. They know what they want to do, and I think that alone will make them a more you have to take them more seriously than you used to, no doubt.
They're going to be physical. That's one of the things they're definitely going to do. How about the Raiders with Brock Bowers? Do you think that this is what they needed? I mean, they just took Michael Mayer last year. I mean, I'm all for it.
Right.
Taking the best player available, and there's clearly no quarterbacks left for them to take. What do you make of this one?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I wonder how they're going to use both those guys and get good value out of both those players. But I do like the philosophy of taking a good player. So assuming they have some kind of plan there and know how they want to use both those guys and get maximum out of each player, I do like that move. I think maybe three out of the four AFC West teams, I think, got it right in the first round pick. I just wonder about the Broncos.
Listen, Brock Bowers is a fine player, but who would rather have Brock Bowers or a potential future number one wideout? Like, I don't understand how Brian Thomas wasn't the pick.
Yeah, and, there was, at that point, wasn't there still all the defensive players were still available, right?
Yes. I mean,
the first one didn't go till, I think, the next pick, right, if I remember right. So, I don't know. I think the Raiders could use some help on defense at corner. So, I'm wondering about it a little bit, but I do like the player.
Do you think that I think it was 14 straight offensive players to start before they got to, I think it was 15 that finally the Colts took a defender, took the
Latu,
Latu, the edge rusher from UCLA.
Okay.
Do you think that this is, I know defenses took a big step forward, and so maybe this is just that, maybe it's just cyclical, and there was just way more offensive talent. But I think also part of it, it seems like, listen, the Chiefs can always score. Like, we have to score with the Chiefs. Don't you think that's part of it?
Yeah, and, I think part of it was that there were just an inordinate amount of teams looking for quarterbacks, and they just sort of lined up with they lined up in early in the draft, and you had Minnesota trading up. I think that had a factor in it too. There were six of them this year that went the first top 12 there. So good year for offensive linemen, good year for wide receivers. So it all just sort of added up. I don't think you'll see this thing again, that type of thing, either side of the ball anytime soon.
I don't know. I think the more. The fewer possessions we get, the more important it is to be able to score and to be able to score quick at the end of halves and games. And I think offense is just a lot more important. I think that might be part of what fueled it. We'll see. Adam, you're the man. We appreciate it. We'll talk Monday and recap the entire draft.
Good stuff, Saran. Talk to you then.
All right. There he is, Adam Teich, the best in the business. ESPN.com is where you can read his great work. We'll take a break. Find out if Danny's happy with what the Chiefs did. Danny Unleashed is next.
All right, what is the highest pick the Chiefs have ever used on a wide receiver? Brought to you by Good Sense.